Once we recognize a technology as both a technique and the sharing of that technique, we need to ask what the oldest technology might have been. That question takes us to an interesting place indeed. What are the old technologies? Farming came late in history. Before farming, settled herdsmen and gatherers made clothing, knives, tents, spears. But so did the nomads before them. When we go back very far indeed, we find picture painting and music. Some really magnificent cave paintings survive, along with evidence of rattles, drums, pipes, and shell trumpets. Even the Bible, the chronology of the Hebrew tribes, identifies musical instrument making as one of the three technologies that arose in the 7th and 8th generations after Adam.
Some smart kids there, Adam.
Lucy, we're talking about the biblical Adam.
Oh, are we now?
In any case, music is clearly as old as any technology we can date. Couple that with the sure knowledge that whales sing, that the animal urge to make music precedes technology, and we offer you music making as the oldest technology of all. Societies with the least technology on Earth are all strongly tied to music. Australian Aborigine culture is defined by its song, dance, musical instruments, and poetry. Music is the most accessible art and at the same time the most sophisticated. In almost any age or any society, music making is every bit as complex as other technologies. But our own experience tells us as much as archaeology does. Experience tells us that music is primal. It's not just a simple pleasure. A Shakespearean lady says,
I am never merry when I hear sweet sounds of music.
And her lover answers, the reason is your spirits are attentive. The man that hath no music in himself is fit for treason. And we know what he means. If we can't respond to art, to music, then something's missing. We are fit for treason. Music helps us understand the human lot. Music is as functional as any worthwhile technology. Its function is to put reality in terms that make sense. That means dramatizing what we see, transmuting it into something more than what's obvious. Wallace Stevens wrote,
they say you have a blue guitar. You do not play things as they are.
The man replied, things as they are changed upon the blue guitar. The blue guitar, music or any art, does change reality. It turns the human dilemma around until we see it in perspective. Sometimes it takes us through grief and pain to do that. It disturbs us at the same time it comforts us. But it serves such a fundamental human need. That's exactly why music making is as primal a human technology as we have. Now, a companion question to what's the oldest technology. Let's ask, what then is the oldest musical instrument? Now we have a question that chokes on its own ambiguities. Should we count the caveman drumming on a log? Should we count your dog rhythmically thumping her tail on the wall? Is that instrumental music? The question only becomes useful when we start looking for sophisticated music-making machines. After all, birds and whales were singing complex songs long before we humans walked the earth. As we move back in time, we find 4,000-year-old cuneiform tablets that describe a diatonic scale, but the written record soon runs out. And the oldest artifacts have been a few one-note whistles made by the Mesolithic modern humans of some 25,000 years ago. Then, in 1995, Slovenian archaeologist Ivan Turk made an astonishing discovery. Turk found a 4-inch length of bone from the thigh of a cave bear, pretty minor except for two things. First, this bone was roughly 55,000 years old. That was before modern humans appeared in Europe. It seems to have turned up among Neanderthals. Tall remains. But the real shock is what's been done to it. Two holes, each a third of an inch in diameter, have been reamed into it. On either end, the bone has broken where there were two more holes. We find that four holes have been carefully cut into the bone, and they're not evenly spaced. The bone fairly screams flute at us, and a sophisticated flute at that. Musicologist Bob Fink from Saskatoon studies the scales these holes could have joined in producing. Since he has only a fragment of the whole bone, he has to juggle possibilities. However, the uneven spacing means that if this was a flute, it was tuned in a scale with whole steps and half steps. It was based on a scale that fits natural harmonics the way all diatonic scales do. Finck measures whole spacings, and he juggles the statistical probabilities of whole flute arrangements. He concludes with near certainty that this was a Neanderthal flute, tuned either to a harmonic or a melodic minor scale, a sound that's oriental to the Western ear, or sad or exotic, a beautiful and haunting sound. Up to now, anthropologists have debated whether or not the Neanderthals had speech. If they did, their range of sounds was certainly less than ours. But evidence does suggest that they buried their dead, protected their handicapped, and honored some deity. And now we have evidence that they were music makers as well. When William Congreve wrote his famous line about music having charms to soothe the savage breast, he missed the point. For where you have music, you no longer have savages. The cartoon brutishness of the Neanderthal was originally created by 19th century racism. Neanderthals had to be less than we because they didn't look the same. We knew that their brains were at least as large as ours, but we swept that under the rug. Now this bone flute has stirred up a huge debate among ethnomusicologists. Was it really a flute? Once more, Lucy and I were there when this bone was shaped. But we are bound to keep our confidences. What we can tell you is that the genie of self-expression was now out of the bottle. Indeed, anthropologists have recently applied fancy new dating methods to finds made at a site on Zaire's Semliki River. They believe the dig is around 90,000 years old, and it's yielding complex harpoon heads carved from bone. These harpoons have the sophisticated swept-back teeth we once expected to find only after you modern humans had established yourselves in Europe some 30 or 40,000 years ago. But our African forebears had already begun the great surge of self-expressive technology far earlier. A new species was already on the march, a species that we might well call Homo technologicus, or they who make tools. Anthropologists have now found evidence that suggests our Neanderthal cousins created images before modern humans did so much with picture painting in the caves of Altamira and Lascaux. They've found primitive bone carvings. Whether or not Bob Finck is correct in his analysis, he certainly could be correct, for the Neanderthals had come into their own blue guitar of self-expression.